ChristianCommunity.com.
So, we're going to continue on this morning with our framework series. This week, we're going to be looking at Colossians. And particularly, we're going to look at Colossians 3. And we're going to go through verse 1 through verse 17. And this morning, I'm going to be reading out of the NIV, and there's a reason for that. But your Bibles in the pew will pretty much follow along with that pretty closely, but it's just a couple things that are different. So, I will start with that. We're going to read through all the verses, and then I'll come back and I'll address some of the points that I want to make. Before we do that, just let's pray real quick. Father, we just thank you so much. Thank you that you're a God who really cares about us, really loves us, and really desires to just be with us and to change our lives. And Father, we just want to learn from your word here and speak to us that we can apply your word and your principles and that we can go from here changed people. And we thank you so much for how you desire to work in each and every one of our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. So, let's get started. We're going to start with verse 1, and this is called, this whole subtitle of this section is called Rules for Holy Living. And verse 1 says, since then, and that since then is kind of there for, you know, it's like, okay, well, what is he talking about since then? And previously in chapter 2, he was talking about freedom from human regulations. And he's talking about all these rules and regulations that, you know, man had set up and that you had to follow all these rules and regulations and somehow, you know, you'd end up in heaven with God. But in the beginning here, so he's talking about how Christ has demolished those in chapter 2 and his death on the cross abolished those rules and regulations. So he goes on to say, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Now, this next section, I'm going to have someone come up and help me with this. Okay, I got a friend. Let's welcome him out. Hey, dog, come on out. All right, this is my friend, dog. Okay, dog's going to help us out with this next section. What up, man?
What's up?
You cool?
Oh, yeah.
All right, dog's cool. So, dog, you know, He's kind of had some issues, you know. He's kind of been a little bit, I don't know, like weighted down, you know, with stuff and carrying a lot of baggage. And so today we're going to try and go through some of these points and hopefully we'll help him walk through some of that and maybe get rid of some of that stuff that's just been weighting him down. So we're going to go on to the next verse. And here Paul is saying this. He says, put to death.
Whoa, whoa. Who are you putting to death?
No, 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 no. Dog, it's we're not putting anyone to death, okay? No, it's not that. It's, you're, you know, no, okay. Okay, so we'll go on. Man, you're looking good. All right. So, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And the first one, dog, sexual immorality. I know that's a touchy one, but, you know, you've been struggling with that at all?
Well,
dog, you remember that time? That time with your friend Bill when you went out cruising all the chicks? Yeah. That, yeah. That's that, Bill. Yeah. We all know about him. Okay, dog. So, get rid of that one. All right. So, we've put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to earthly nature, sexual immorality. What about impurity? That's the next one there, dog. You ever deal with that? What? Are you serious? Hannah Montana? Really?
Miley Cyrus. Yeah. Have you seen her lately?
Oh, yeah, we've seen a little too much of her lately, actually. God, I think you need to take a wrecking ball of that thing. Okay. So we got that out of the way. Good. So, we deal with sexual immorality, impurity. Well, dog, you ever have any lust in your life? You know, just that, you know, lust. Yeah. Oh, what? Seriously? Twinkies?
Oh, everybody loves Twinkies.
Twinkies. All right. Well, dog, glad you got rid of those things. Whew. Those things will stick around forever and ruin your life, won't they? All right. So we got lust out of the way. And the next thing, dog, next thing is evil desires. Man, you ever deal with evil desires in your life? Oh, man. Whoa, dog, now. Now, dog. No, man. Yeah. Oh, that's some evil desire there. Whew. All right, easy now. Okay, whew. Got rid of that one. All right, so we got rid of sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, greed. Dog, we all know you're a greedy Republican. Come on, hand some of that over, will ya? Get rid of that. All right. Good. Well, we got rid of that. Now, it goes on to say, in the next verse, it goes on to say this. And it says, because of these things, dog, the wrath of God is coming. Mm-hmm. And next verse says that you used to walk in these ways, and that was in the life you once lived. And if we go on, it says you must rid yourself of all these things, such as anger. Have you ever, I'm sure you've dealt with a little anger, haven't you, dog?
A little bit.
Oh, man.
Oh! Oh, you stupid pig!
And, well, rage is the next one, of course. All right. So, yeah, I think we have just a little bit of anger and maybe a little rage in there, too. So, oh, man. Dog, you got to get rid of those things. I guess you kind of did. All right. What about next one is malice?
Mallet? I got a mallet?
No. Dog, no. No, I said malice. Malice,
oh,
dog.
Malice.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Wow. No. Okay, malice. That's a little bit of malice right there. Okay. Okay, so now, woo, wow, okay, it's okay, we got rid of malice, okay. So, anger, rage, malice, probably the next one, slander, dog. You haven't dealt with any slander, have you?
Well, I was recently involved in a protest. Michael Schra's a union buster!
I guess. Oh, man. All right, you need to get rid of that. Come on, throw it out. Jeez. Dog. Boy, you got a lot of issues, don't you? Okay. So, we got rid of anger, got rid of rage, malice, not mallet, and slander, and the last thing, dog, is filthy language. You don't use any filthy language, have you? Okay. Okay, settle down. No, get rid of that dog. Get rid of that. All right. Good. Whew. So, dog, we'll go on here. It says that we should not lie to each other, you know, like your friend Bill, you know. He kind of lied and got in some big trouble there. So do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And dog, you need to take off your old self. You need to get rid of that. Get rid of all those things. And then it talks, and having put on the new self. Look at that dog. You got the new self on you, and you're being renewed in the knowledge and image of your Creator. Dog, look at that. And there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. But Christ is all and is in all. You see, dog, you're a new creation now. And you now have put on Christ, and things have really turned around. When you look in the mirror, dog, you're not going to see dog anymore. You're going to see God. And God has now clothed you with His truth, His attributes, His righteousness, and His virtues. And dog, when other people see you, hopefully they see God in you. Thanks much. Let's give them a hand. All right, we're just going to continue on here. So that's just a fun illustration that we did. And I thought it'd be fun to put that together. Let's go on to verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We should bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So we're going to back up here, and we're going to start back at verse 1. So we're just going to run through these. And I got four main points that I want to address here. And in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, let's reread that. It says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." So the first point in that is set your heart and mind on things above. If you want to set your heart and mind on things above, you have to put to death those earthly natures, the ones that he addressed and that we've kind of looked at with Otis. And those natures really stand in the way of us being able to be effective in God and in our Christian life. So he really says you need to set your heart and mind on those things above. In Colossians 3, 5 through 9, let's read that. Colossians 3, 5 through 9 says this. And this is that part we just went through. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. And do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of the Creator. I kind of went one verse far there. So it's point two here. The second point is get rid of and put to death your earthly nature. Okay? And the question I have is, why do we hang on to our old self? You know, sometimes we just hang on to those old sins. We hang on to those old things. You know, and I know this analogy has been probably used 100, if not 1,000 times. I often think of Frodo, you know, in The Lord of the Rings. And he had this, the ring of power. And yet, he sat there and played with that ring, you know. That ring just possessed him. And he couldn't shake it. He had a really hard time getting rid of that. And that ring of power really represents what sin is in our lives. You know, sometimes we just like to hold on to it, you know. My precious, yeah. And we just hang on to those things instead of getting rid of them. I once had a coworker. I used to manage a photo lab, and there's one of my employees, actually, he was big into role-playing games. And one morning he comes in, and he's like, oh, man, am I tired. I'm like, well, dude, what's up? And he's like, it's up till like 3, 4 in the morning playing my role-playing game. I'm like, oh, God. And, you know, I said, dude, that the ring, it's got a hold of you. And he's like, yeah, I know. It's really, I just can't stop. And, you know, and there's people that have played those games. They've ruined marriages, friendships. They've lost jobs over those things. And, you know, that's just one example. But there's things in our life that we just can't get rid of, and we hold on to them. And so many people, this is the next point, I hope that's up there, says so many people fail at things in life because they set to their mind to it, but their heart is not into it. You see, there's a lot of people that like to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get rid of that. And in their mind, they want to. But in their heart, they're not ready to, you know? And that's why Paul says to set your heart and mind on things above. You know, it's not just enough to set your mind there. If your heart's not there, forget it. You're not going to change. And those things in your life that you're dealing with, you're going to still be dealing with them. I mean, I watched this show. Have you ever watched the show Hoarders? It's a freaky show, let me tell you. But it's true. It's a true life situation where these people, they hoard. They just can't let go of anything. They collect everything. There's this one story on the news about this this lady finally passed away. And they went through her house and they found her dead grandmother buried underneath tons of stuff in her house. I mean, it's just, she couldn't even get it. Her grandmother, who was living with her, died, and she just let her there and piled stuff on top of her. It's just, I mean, it's just crazy how much control that has in people's life. You know, I have a coworker, another coworker. I mean, he's quit smoking 10, 20 times. I mean, it's really, have you really quit? He wants to. He's seen the results of it. But the reason why he's not quit, it's not here. It's really not here. It hasn't affected him so much that he has set his heart to quitting that. And Dave Ramsey says this. He says, true change occurs When people reach the point where they are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, when we get to that point where we're just like, I've had enough. I'm at my end. You know, I am done with this. And I just can't go on anymore like this. And that's where we got to get in our lives with some of these things. And people will never experience true change until they have that change of heart. If we surrender our heart and mind in these areas, then we can put on our new self. And we can be renewed in the knowledge and in the image of our Creator. We no longer have to be like dog was, but we can take on the image of Christ. So, let's go on. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says this, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." You know, it says therefore. You know, whenever there's a therefore, we have to ask, what's the therefore there for? And what he's saying here is that since we decided to get rid of or put to death all those earthly natures, we need to replace those things. See, if we don't fill those voids where we held on to those things with something of value, they're just going to come back. And so he tells us that since we got rid of those and put to death, we need to replace it with these godly virtues in our life. We need compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, forgiveness, and the most important thing we need is love. Can you imagine what the world would be like if everyone lived according to these virtues, just these little virtues? I mean, imagine that. Imagine if everyone lived according to these virtues. I mean, we wouldn't have anywhere near the problems that we have today. It would just be amazing. And you know, we really need to look at these things and just pray to God and ask that He fills us with these things in our life. And the last part, Paul kind of wraps it up in verse 17. If we look at verse 17, it says this, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." You know, we can just easily read that and, oh yeah, give thanks. Yeah. Good, good. There's something really, really interesting there, and I want you to catch this. And God, He sometimes speaks to you at the most crazy times. And at 2:30 in the morning, I woke up and had to go get a drink and came back to bed. And I'm like, you know, I know I had this message to prepare, and so I'm sitting there thinking about it. I'm like, ooh. Okay, and whatever you do, I want to give thanks. And then He spoke to me. He's like, huh. I don't know if you caught this, but if you look at it, it says, "And in whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." I'm like, question came, when do we usually give thanks? When someone says, "God bless you," you say, "Thank you." When someone holds the door open, you say, "Thank you." Whenever someone does something for us or an act of kindness to towards us, we say, thank you. But that's not what he's saying here. Did you catch that? He says, in whatever you do, give thanks. That's strange. Okay, so I'm supposed to be thanking myself for what I do? That just seems backwards, doesn't it? But if we back up here, let's apply that, okay? So, here's what Paul is saying, and this is what I believe. If we can't thank God in what we say or do, we shouldn't be doing it. If we can't thank God in what we say or do, we shouldn't do it. And so, if we look at these things that we need to put to death, let's try to apply this, okay? And what he's saying. So, let's go back. So, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality. Let's try that one out, okay? So, this is what it would sound like. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing me to cheat on my best friend's husband or wife. That doesn't quite work, does it? But that's okay. Or let's try the next one. How about impurity? Lord, thank you for allowing me to make some obscene comments about someone else. Someone of the opposite sex, maybe. Or how about lust? You know, dear Lord, thank you for allowing me to undress that girl with my eyes. That just doesn't work. It doesn't fit. How about evil desires? Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I had that desire just to take it to that moron who hurt me and stepped all over me. You know? That person that walked over me. So you're starting to get the idea here. And what about greed? You know, Lord, thank you for all that money that I held on to, you know, that I've accumulated, that I really haven't helped anyone with. Thank you that I was able to not make an impact and really help people that were really in need. Or how about the next section where it talks about anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language? You know, I can wrap all these into one. It goes something like this. Lord, thank you for allowing me to get angry at the idiot who cut me off this morning and on the way to work. And thanks that I went into a fit of rage and malice by tailgating them. Then pulling up next to them, all the while proceeding to curse and flip them off, and afterwards to slander them to my coworkers once I got to work. Covers the whole nine yards. Does that sound far-fetched? Not to me, it doesn't. But you see how this doesn't work? God, this is the true test. Can we thank him in what we do or say? And you see how this doesn't work, but instead, if we had compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love, I mean, we could thank God all day long for those things. And how would you feel? I mean, imagine how you feel at the end of the day knowing that you had these things in your life and that you were acting according to them. And this is the final point I want to make on all of this. See, the true test comes when we bow before God and thank him for all that we say and do. You know, will we rejoice or hang our head in shame? At the end of the day, and we give thanks to God, can we thank him for all that we've said and all that we do? Let's close in prayer. Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we really want to live lives that are glorifying to you. Father, help us to get rid of those things in our life, those earthly natures that we just tend to hang on to, you know, that we struggle with, that we just haven't been able to give up. Lord, help us to have a change of heart. Help us to fix our heart and our mind on things above. Clothe us, Lord. Clothe us with those virtues, the virtues that you want in our lives, Father. Help us to do that. Help us to see you. And Lord, help us that we may be a shining example to others around us, that they may see God in our lives when we do that. We thank you so much for your word and how much you love us and care and desire for us to live according to your ways and purposes. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.